We're doing the Magen Midovna, Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Shin Tet. And the Magen Midovna had brought an allegory about a person who brings up a thief in his home. And then he discovers that this thief wasn't only stealing from other people, but he was stealing from him as well, from his own host. And then people looked at him and said, don't you think you were being foolish? Why did you think he'd only steal from other people and wouldn't steal from you? And the same is true with the person who is arrogant, that he thinks he's going to deceive other people, and really, he's only deceiving himself, because the arrogance misguides him, and he doesn't realize that when he tries showing off how great he is, he's really hurting himself. And then the Magen Midovna turned to himself and said, you know what? But I know myself, and when I try to behave humble, that's a type of arrogance too. Because I'm hoping that if I behave humble, then people will honor me even more. And that's even worse. So that was the next point the Magen Midovna said. So he looks at himself and says, okay, what am I going to tell you, self? You rebellious one. I look at you, he says to himself, and I see you, a new creation, something which didn't have to come to the world. It's a, you could have been created, you could have not been created. We turn to page Shin Yud. The fact that you were created, and the fact that you can wheel and deal, come in, go out, well, that's God's will that allows you to do it. The merciful one who is benevolent, praised is his name, blessed is his name. And you don't really control your existence. You don't have control. You can't say, I will continue to exist. I will wake up to see tomorrow. No, you don't know. You hope you will. But you don't control it. And you, who has so little control over your life, you are arrogant and seek greatness. Look around. If you look around, you see some things are strong. Some things are mighty. Some things are big and tall. Some things are unusual. Some things shine. They shine like the light of the sky. And look around you. There are different things in the world, and each one does its function. They all continue taking their course. You don't see a light bulb say, look at me, wow, aren't I great? You don't see a stone saying, look at how tough I am. You don't see them desiring any pride, any praise over what they're doing. Each one says, I'm just doing my job. And you are standing among everything else around you, all of creation. And you know what? They look at you like a little grasshopper. You're weaker than all of them. Look at it. Can we stand up to a rock that's thrown at us? A rock can kill a person. Can we stand up to a knife that's thrown at us? Here we are, we take pride in who we are when we're really weaklings in all of nature. You can't even stand up to water. We're so minuscule. We're so little. From the time we're born, that's one of the scary things you see in newborn. They lie there and they can't help themselves. You know, if a bag, God forbid, falls on a newborn's face, they choke. They don't know what to do. Finished. Completely helpless. It's one of the most stunning things to see, how a human being is born helpless. And the truth is that as we mature, so there's a very limited range that we can control. There are so many things we can't control, and there are so many things that can hurt us and that we can do nothing about. You know, the guy could be President Obama, and suddenly a bee starts buzzing next to his face. He can do this, he can do that. But he won't necessarily do anything to the bee.
A little mosquito can drive him crazy. He can get a zapper. He can get a swatter. He won't necessarily win. It could be a dog. It could be a cat. He could get bitten. It could be President Bush throwing up on the president of Japan. Does he have control? How much control do we have? So we like to think of ourselves as so powerful, but the truth is, from the time we're born, we're very limited and we're very vulnerable. And if you look around, everything around you has elements in which it's stronger than you are. Take the table right here. If someone were to take the table and push it against one of us against the wall, we couldn't stand up to the table. So the table's stronger than we are.
If you look at your physical body, technically our biology teacher told us that if you break down the body, its value is about $87. That's what the biology teacher told us. The chemical makeup of the body is, if you break it down to chemicals, so it's $87. I don't know if that's still so. The dollar is worth less today, so maybe, I don't know. Vavi gabei harkavatcha ve'en b'chochacha rak lifkoach chinaim.
Look around, look at your body, look at your physical frame, and the truth is that the makeup of the human being is nothing to be so proud about, and the strength that we have to open our eyes, lirot ulitpanen yekau gdulat adonecha, is the strength that we have to perceive. And that capacity that we as humans are given to perceive should be used to perceive that there is a great creator who created us. What were we given this capacity to perceive? Yotzecha mibeten le'eved lo. The one who fashioned you from the womb, well, he has a job for you. You're supposed to do his service. La'alelol shabcho al tuvo v'chasdo. You're supposed to thank him, praise him for his kindness. V'intitale mizeh v'lo pakach te'enecha. But if you ignore that, and you don't bother looking around, v'ata garov ha'pachut gam erem sa'arts v'zochel afar, then you're worse than the little vermin that crawl around the ground. And I only had an appreciation for this when I started seeing immoral activity. The last few years have been a real eye-opener for me. I've been to the police station a number of times. Students here have taken me to all kinds of places I never saw before. So I never had an appreciation that a person can really live the life of a cat. It blows me away, you know. Every night the cats around here make all kinds of noises. And you see cat fights. These two cats are fighting over a female cat that's in heat. And they're having it out. We had last Shabbos, it reached a point where the cat was on top of the other cat. I never saw such a thing. The cat on bottom was lying on his back. He literally pinned him to the ground. And then he was starting to claw out his eyes and bite off his tail. I never saw such a thing. Never knew cats could be so cruel. What over a female cat? Well, you know what? Right now, if you go down to Ben Yehuda, you could go into any of the bars and you'll see a very similar scene.
A little more sophisticated, but the same intent.
A little more sophisticated? I don't know if it's so much more sophisticated.
Well, this time. 3-4 hours from now. It's funny, you mentioned how weak we are compared to, you know, a piece of wood or this, that, I'm thinking. And on top of all that, we got our heads harder than we are. Which is where real strength has to be exercised.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just teasing because when you mentioned that, some of what came to mind.
So he says, you know, if you don't stop and think, what am I doing here? So then we're worse than the vermin. Because we're given the capacity to do more with our lives. Mashal le'echad, this is similar to a person, ayalo chatanim lokhei v'notav. He had some sons-in-law. Mehem ayu ro'ei tzon. Some of his sons-in-law used to shepherd sheep. Umehem ro'ei bakar. Some would shepherd cattle. Umehem ovdei adama. And some were farmers. Umehem socharim. Some were businessmen. And then there was one that he really invested a lot of time looking for a husband for this girl. And he searched high and low. He said, I want one son-in-law to come from the best family, a family of Talmidei Chachamim, a family that has good lineage, Leman Pri Yishvelo. He says, let me have one family for my kids where the grandchildren will be what I want them to be and I'll be able to admire and enjoy them. Nitamot Maseh and Maseh Orav HaMiyuchasim. And then this son-in-law will bear me fruits that I'll have grandchildren that will be like their progenitors, the famous Jews who lived in yesteryear. Okay. And the guy figures, I worked so hard my whole life, at least here I'll have some naches. He says, let me have at least one son-in-law that dedicates himself to Torah, to holiness. Let me merit with one. So he goes and he puts in efforts and he does research and he finally finds that beautiful, perfect chassam. So let me tell you a true story. He's telling you a fictitious story. I saw a story with my own two eyes. A businessman who had many children and he had one fantastic daughter. Wonderful in every way. And he decided that for her he wants, just like the Magid Miduvna said, top, top guy. I don't want to end the story. It's too cruel, the end of the story. Let's say they got divorced. And let's say he wasn't what his father-in-law thought he was made out to be. He was much, much less. But I'm only mentioning it because he touched on it and he even describes how he looked for someone whose progenitors were great. He looked for someone who came from great lineage. Someone who would bring him kids that he could say, ooh, they're like their grandparents. But he didn't look at who the chassan was. And that's exactly what happened to this person I know, this businessman. He heard about this tremendous young man. He heard that his grandparents and his great-grandparents, and he comes from a long line of great people, and he didn't take enough time to see what that young man was himself. And in a way, by the time he found out, it was way too late. So,
sorry about that. I shouldn't have mentioned you. I was goofy with the Ben Yehuda. And as bad as it is, thank God there are plenty of young Jews who have a beer or two and have a good time to go home. And they're all old enough. I didn't want to make it like, yes, of course, it did get ugly at times, but thank God, it's still nice that people come to Israel and they find their way here, some of them. So it's not, you know what I mean, it's not totally... Yeah, I see what you're saying.
A person should stay away from Ben Yehuda.
Where you came from, it can be a real eye-opener like that. But if you grew up with it in all over the world and stuff, it really, you know, I'm a little older and I'm not so in and out, but I do have... People, and I think, and yeah, there are particularly people who are in certain areas who dropped out and haven't made it and got lost in the societies they were. But then there are lots of people who come on the birthrights and this and that and do end up here or in leave no. And, you know, so it isn't all. I don't want to. It's important because. No, I mean, look, I.
אבל אנחנו התנקב מעללה וזאת דרכי אבותה ולא הלך בדרכיהם לא עשה כמעשיהם. So this youngster, well, he didn't keep up with the family tradition. He didn't live up to what his predecessors did. But he was, he had a finicky taste. He knew what he wanted in life. He wanted the good life. Lilbosh ledvanim, he always wanted the finest suits. Lechol madanim, only the sweetest foods. כמשפט בני הרוזנים, like the sons of all the wealthy. לא היה בכוח לעשות כמעשה אלו החושרים בזורים. He didn't have strength to start plowing or planting, קוצרים ותוכנים, harvesting or grinding. והיה מתגאה עליהם. And he used to look down at them, ומתפאר בעיקר ערכו וגודל ייחוסו. And he'd take pride in his great lineage. Oh, I am the son-in-law. אמרו לו, so the other sons-in-law said to him, שחל, fool. הלא אתה פחות וגרוע הרבה מאוד. You're much worse. גם מן הפחות אשר ברכנו. You're worse than the worst of us. אחר כי נטשת עזבת מעשה אבותיך. You come from a family where everyone was positive people. And you turned your back on all of that. ניאצת חילת פרחה והדרכה. You were a desecration to your name. So then what's all the yichus worth? So what if you have great lineage? All the lineage did for you was create such a weakling who likes pleasures, who's always focused on how he could enjoy life. You have so many needs. You spend so much money. You worry double. You work. You have to work because you got to make so much money. But you ain't going to make money. You don't have the capacity to make money. You have all these needs you've allowed yourselves to develop, but you don't have the way of earning them. But look at us. We're not like that. We're all successful. We work. We harvest. We carry. We toil. We do any work necessary in the field. But you know what? At the end of the day, we live off of our toils. We can live a respectful life. And you, poor thing, what a weak constitution you have. What connection do you have to this family? You, your actions are nothing. Your production is nothing. So you come from a family that produced, but you don't reflect that. Kenata, so this was all an allegory. He comes back and says to himself, you look down at everything else and you say, everything is less complicated, less sophisticated than me. But you know what? Everything around you is healthy. In nature, look around you. Nature produces. Nature does what it's supposed to do. The desk is doing what it's supposed to do. The cat's doing what it's supposed to do. The dog's doing what it's supposed to do. Every creature in nature is doing its job. And we, the human being, we're the weakest among the creatures. What's our claim to fame? We have a great lineage. We're part of the human race. But what does that mean? We're like the guy who comes with yichus. That means there are higher demands. There's higher expectations. So if you value that lineage, if you want to have some kind of connection to this great human race with its great accomplishments, you want to recognize how great you are. You want to look at your soul and say, boy, I was given potential. You want a soul that's reflective of the fact that God put godliness in you. So, wait a second. So, that's the expectation that stems from your lineage. And then you have to live up to it. But if you let go of that potential for greatness, and you take it easy and you enjoy yourself and you focus on what you stand to gain, or coming back to the point he's trying to drive home, you focus on the arrogance of, look at me. So then, wait a second, what do you mean, look at me? You're no different than that chassan. Look at me, that I have potential, but am I living up to any of it? You were given all the greatness to succeed. And instead, you go lie down, you go to sleep. You're like that son-in-law that's given all the potential to succeed. He's given the money, he's given the house, he's given the wife. Just go learn, go produce. And he doesn't. He goes back to sleep. So then, look at yourself and realize that the detriment, the degradation is limitless. Because your composition is so weak. Look around you. Everything else is stronger. We're the weaklings. We have a mind. We have a soul. But what are we doing with it? The stone in the wall looks out at us and says, you take pride over me? Tell me, who's going to outlive whom? Who's going to remain in the end? Who could be more confident the last? And the smallest piece of wood will answer you, I accomplish more in the world than you do. I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't made any problems in the world. If you look up to the great depths of the sky, a person would really be embarrassed. There you look up to heavens. There you have a camp of God's servant. They have true awe and respect in their service. But we take the pride. Look at me, I daven shachris today, whoop-de-doo. Oh, and I did it with kavana too, so then the whole world should bow before me because I'm such a tzaddik. Wait a second, look around. And you take all this pride, you want to wear all these honorable clothing and everyone should look up to you. Why? Be realistic. Everything around you is doing a better job. We have a job which we don't live up to, and the smallest chair is living up to its job, and the angels are living up to their jobs. And we are given potential. We're like that chassan who's given everything to succeed, and then it's an embarrassment. So, what's there to be so proud about? And we'll continue here, Bezat Shem.